This is the Fix Your Sciatica Podcast.
Let's talk about rehab by text, being able to manage some of the aches and pains, some of the challenges that you're dealing with, especially with something like sciatica, and how you're able to save money and also get some success just trying to manage this via text message or communicating directly with someone like me. And so today we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Danielle Avila, who has been a client in the past and was really kind enough to share her time with the Patient Advocate Program and working with us and shared her success. So Danielle, it's so great to see you. Thank you so much for being on today's episode.
Hi, Ashley. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for your care and super happy to talk about this with you today.
I'm so excited because of the fact that, I mean, people who are listening to these episodes have been dealing with pain and are just trying to get over either that hump or just try to solve that problem of going through sciatica pain relief. And so I'm excited to share your story because I find it to be, one, it's a success story, but it's also a great opportunity for us to talk about some of the things that we actually went into from a strategy standpoint and how we were able to overcome those humps and plateaus. But before we get into it, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your sciatic pain journey.
Sure. So, I guess to introduce myself, I just turned 40 years old like 2 weeks ago. So that's been an adjustment. But I have a long history of being super active. I actually put myself through undergrad as a Division I athlete in track and cross country at Colorado State. So that was a long time ago, but I've continued to be super active since then. I ended up going to medical school, and I'm now an infectious disease physician, and I work in Arizona. And then I am also a mother and wife. I have a 4-year-old son and a wonderful husband as well. So my journey with sciatica pain began, I had an injury that happened in November of 2023. I remember it pretty well because my son had had a lot of colds at daycare and he was really sick for a long period of time. And all of us had this horrible bronchitis. And I think what happened is I may have coughed and actually slipped one of my lumbar discs out of position and just ended up with this horrible pain that was really debilitating. I remember it coming on pretty strongly and just over the next 48 hours just got worse and worse. And to the point where I was really pretty almost immobilized. Almost the only thing I could do, the only position I could be in was standing straight up or laying on my stomach. And I got lots of bad advice on the internet when I first kind of started looking at this. And unfortunately, even from well-meaning family members, they told me that I should try like various positions that were super unhelpful. And so I knew really quickly because I'm so active and because I have so many responsibilities, my work, my child, my family, that I really quickly needed to get some help. And so luckily, I'm a huge podcast fan and just kind of stumbled upon Ashley's program online, kind of searching for ways to help sciatic nerve pain. And I guess being in my position with some medical training and having taken care of people with sciatic pain over the years, you know, I did an internal medicine residency, and so I've certainly taken care of this. I kind of knew that I didn't have any red flag signs. I knew I was just in a ton of pain. I knew that an emergency room probably couldn't do a whole lot for me, unfortunately. And I knew what I really needed was physical therapy. But accessing physical therapy for me was a huge barrier just because of my really busy schedule. I knew there was almost no way that I would be able to quickly get into someone, especially because I was traveling over the holidays. And I knew that there was going to be a huge wait to get in to actually see somebody for an in-person physical therapy visit. So I was incredibly grateful to stumble upon this program and get almost immediate, just within the next 24, 48 hours after I reached out to Ashley, I had an appointment, a consultation scheduled, and it was just really, really quick.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that you had to go through through this pain, but it really does highlight the delays in care that people receive or encounter, right? I would say out here in Marin County, which is between San Francisco and Napa in California, the average wait time for the typical outpatient clinic is about 3 to 4 weeks. So we kind of have a choice, right? It's either, you know, book an appointment and then just be miserable for 3 to 4 weeks, right? And and I see this often a lot, even when trying to book an appointment with any healthcare practitioner. Yeah. It's like it's a long wait. And it's like, one, when you're going into an office, and you probably see this in infectious disease as well, is like you're interacting with patients, which means that if you're interacting with a patient, you can't interact with like 3 to 4 patients at a time, because like our brains just physically can't handle that. And so one of the reasons why I created this program and this podcast was to be able to, one, help funnel in a lot of that useful information, but also number two, when you're in pain and you want to take action, you don't have to wait 3 to 4 weeks to be seen by someone. So
exactly.
I was able to get rolling with you. And I remember when we first met, and knowing that you're a physician and knowing that you didn't have any red flags, I says, okay, great. We have an opportunity to proceed forward. And during this journey, I was thinking, what types of breadcrumbs is Danielle leaving for me to help me understand what are the most beneficial positions for her? Which, as you said, it was better standing up or lay on your stomach. And I'm thinking, okay, that could be actually possibly extension, more of that back bend. You'll probably see it, listeners, in like the McKenzie press ups. And it's like, this is where a scenario where it's like, if you feel better standing up or laying on your stomach or not rounding forward, then doing the exact opposite motion extension could be helpful. So that was one of the really cool things that we were able to integrate pretty quickly into the program, which was awesome. And I know that you were you're an active person, and also, correct me if I'm wrong, Danielle, but being an infectious disease physician, you're at clinic, you're at the hospital, like you have to be up on your feet, and you have to do, and also obviously, like you're a mother, you're a wife, so you have so many responsibilities that you had to take care of, and this pain just was a huge impediment to
totally. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I knew I needed something really, really quickly. Otherwise, I was just not going to be able to function. And I knew I needed physical therapy. Like that was definitely exactly what I needed. And I guess I'm lucky to be in that position where I knew what was needed. But you really just figure things out really quickly as well. Just with the assessment of kind of going through step by step, does this position help or hurt? What about this position? What about this position? And just doing that through the text messages really helped us make a kind of a diagnosis of the extension being the most helpful position really, really quickly. And I had, I started to experience relief really quickly after that. I'm trying to remember how fast it was, but I think, almost immediate relief, almost an immediate reduction of symptoms, not, of course, to 100%. That took a really long time to get to feeling a lot better. But any improvement was life-saving at that moment. Because my lifestyle is so active. I had been running probably about 20 miles a week before this happened. And then on top of that, my day is just crazy. I had my son, who is a young toddler, who I needed to pick up and help him get dressed, help him go to the bathroom, all of these daily activities. And then when I'm working, I'm just all over the place, depending on the day, maybe in clinic, maybe in the hospital, bending over, looking at all kinds of, physical exam findings. I'm just all over the place. So I really just had this incredibly active day that I was not going to be able to get through unless we did something quickly. So I was so grateful to have someone kind of nail down what was going to be the best next steps and help me make improvements really fast.
I remember the day when I asked you, hey, did you get a chance to pick up your son yet? And you were enthused because you could, and you weren't scared, and you knew the strategies. And I remember, I think it was on our first initial call, I said, okay, but I think we spoke around like November, Thanksgiving time. And I said, before the end of the month, you're going to be able to pick up your son without worrying. And I remember that day where you said yes. And I was so excited because it wasn't just like, okay, we got your pain down. Okay, go ahead, start picking up your son. It was, okay, we got your pain down, but this is how you're going to pick up your son, and give you a little bit more insight in regards to some optimal body mechanics, give you some visual representations. That was one of the big things that I noticed that I haven't had the opportunity or in my earlier days, was the fact that it's like, okay, we got the pain down, we got the fire out, put the fire out. But how do we get people back into doing the activities, like normal day activities? But eventually, you know, we'll talk about running a second, but I remember it's like, okay, well, I have to teach you how to pick up your son correctly soon. You have to put yourself in a funky position. So that was a very super exciting.
Well, and a couple other things that you did that, I mean, your just initial evaluation was super comprehensive. You looked at my car because I couldn't even drive myself to work. I couldn't even get in my car comfortably without, you know, it was taking me like 20 minutes to get in my car, which is not really acceptable. And you did like a video call to come out to my car and actually look at the position of my car seat, the position of the steering wheel, and all of these little details that, I mean, that just would not be available or possible in the traditional physical therapy setting. So I was incredibly grateful for that too. And I mean, that was just immediate. You taught me breathing techniques that helped me get into a position that, again, that was also just like life-changing and life-saving, because otherwise I was going to be struggling to get in and out of the car and being pretty embarrassed in the parking lot trying to get around. So that was another just a kind of aspect of this care model that I would not have expected in the traditional PT setting.
This episode is brought to you by the Patient Advocate Program. Are you tired of not having support between your rehab sessions? Introducing the Patient Advocate Program, and we're focused on your recovery and we're offering you 24/7 access to a doctorate of physical therapy. Stop waiting in line to be seen and stop spending hours doing long exercise programs. Imagine being able to get all of your care delivered straight to your phone. Best of all, it's affordable. We believe everyone deserves top-notch relief without breaking the bank. So why wait? Take control of your health today and visit PTPatientAdvocate.com and book your free call with our experts. Yeah, absolutely. And so oftentimes, and I know that sometimes I'll talk to people and I'll say, yeah, we're going to get you better pretty quickly. Our journey was a little bit on the longer side. We'll say closer to about the 6 month period. We initially got you out of that in fire phase, that initial pain phase, but then you wanted to get back into running. And then once we started to get back into running, we started to have, I wouldn't say another issue. It was really more like, oh, here's another clue that popped up that we should be addressing, as compared to me just say letting you go and then you having another problem in the future, right? And so tell us a little bit more about like what your experience was or how you felt when it was like, okay, cool, I get to go back into running, and then you're going to walk us through that.
Yeah, no, this was, and I guess if I could say, like, to take myself back to the beginning, if I could say some words of wisdom to my initially injured self, I would say just be really, really patient, because this is a long road. And, you know, you hear things online like, oh, you'll be back to normal in like 8 weeks. It was not 8 weeks for me to be back to normal, back to my usual baseline. If I remember correctly, kind of what happened was we did initially put that fire out, and I was able to get back to kind of my daily activities of daily living and kind of back to some sort of functional baseline. But then I got really excited about getting back to running. And this was probably right around Christmas and New Year's. I was feeling great. We'd had a series of days where I think for like almost a week, I was like experiencing minimal pain. And so you basically gave me the green light to start thinking about running. And I got overexcited. And I realized I still had quite a bit of residual, almost like muscle tightness and soreness, I guess, in probably my piriformis and some of the other gluteal muscles around there, and then kind of radiating down into my hamstring. The whole area was still really tight. So I got aggressive, and I think
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1.
Medications require eligibility and prescription. Patients on 15 milligrams of tirzepatide had an average of 21% weight loss in a 72-week clinical trial when paired with diet and exercise. First month as low as $25 with a 12-month MedPlus plan. Does not include the cost of GLP-1 medications.
I may have caused myself to have some serious muscle spasm problems by really, really getting into some deep tissue massage using a lacrosse ball and a foam roller. And so I set myself back, I think, by doing that. But Ashley, you very smartly kind of explained, when I confessed to what I'd done, you kind of explained to me what you thought had happened. And then we sort of started a second phase of treatment, where we had to tinker through things and, first of all, calm that muscle spasm down and kind of take a big step back. And then you kind of took me through a series of exercises to get me back on track with running, with, you know, really looking at my form. And I sent several videos of myself running on the treadmill, and you were able to analyze those and kind of break down some kind of form mechanic things that I was doing that were probably a little bit compensatory and not necessarily even my baseline normal, but you were able to sort of correct those and give me a bunch of cues that helped get back to a more normal running form. And then I was able to kind of keep building upon that until my muscles started to be able to take that kind of endurance component and really get back into my normal running form and my normal duration. And I would say that was a slow process too. I wasn't expecting that to take as long as it did. And thank goodness you put up with me through that period, because I was very grumpy. I wanted to be over that initial injury phase, but I was really frustrated still because I just wanted to go back to my exercise. But there was a series of tweaks that you coached me through that probably lasted another 3 months, 4 months, until I was truly, truly building up my endurance to back to where I had been before the initial injury occurred. So that took a long time. And I'm really grateful that you didn't get sick of my complaining, because I think a lot of people would have said, you know what, you just need to go see someone else. You need to go see someone in person. And You need to start over with someone who can do a full evaluation in person. But this worked out. It really did. And I think just because you were very responsive and we just continued to do videos and continued to do a couple, I think we had an emergency call or two that happened as well when I was really, really upset about setbacks. But yeah, it took a long time, but you didn't give up on me. And I guess I didn't give up either. And we finally got back to normal.
Yeah, I mean, I really appreciate your patience with me. I mean, when you're dealing with pain, it's really easy to think that you're going through this by yourself and that you're alone and that it's like in your head. But when you're working with someone, whether it be with me, whether it be with another physical therapist or anyone, you're not alone in this journey. And it can be it can absolutely be frustrating when you hit those plateau points or those setbacks, or you're not recovering as fast as you think. And I know, especially like you're a Division I athlete. Same thing with myself. And so I'm only going to say this for myself. It's not that like I ever compared myself to what I did back when I was in college, but it was really more like, Ashley, you're like tougher than this. So you can just like keep pushing through.
Yep.
And I think what was, And I think I may or may not have told you this like during this time, but I was like, it was something along the lines of, the moment I stopped being able to find things to address is the moment where it was time to find someone else. And I think we also almost got to a point where it's like, okay, yeah, we should have someone do a little bit of hands-on assessment to see what's going on. And I mean, this whole time, like as slow as it was, we were still trying to like find those tweaks and everything. It was pretty much kind of like, and you probably see this in your clinic, you know, when we approach medicine, we approach pain management, it's a scientific method. So we're having these educated guesses, and in order for us to actually make sure that we're heading in the right direction, we got to try one factor at a time. And it's probably much different in infectious disease. You probably have standards of care. Unfortunately, with sciatica pain, back pain, there really isn't a standard of care. I mean, I think the best research out there right now talks about how general exercise is better than no exercise. Like that's the best that they have. And even the general exercise is not particularly great. And you know, one of the things we discovered during this journey was the fact that we went from, okay, it's like, okay, you most likely had an irritated disc, maybe a bulging or herniated disc. Okay, we addressed that. So that is actually doing pretty well. but there was something happening along the lines of the glute and the butt and the hamstring area. And then we were trying to figure out, well, was it the fact that the glute's gripping too much, or was it all these other things? And one of the big challenges was, say, with glute pain itself is the fact that our glutes are always on, they're always moving. And so how can we get a muscle to go back to functioning normally when it's just being consistently worked, right? And that's where it was, we call it like the motor retraining, motor learning. And that's where we're kind of breaking it down. So yeah, again, thank you so much for your patience with me with all this. So Danielle, let's talk about the future, right? Like for you, here you are, you're in a much better spot now. Now that you're not having this weight of sciatica pain holding you down, let's talk about the future for you. What are you looking forward to now that now that you've been able to step out of it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess just to go back for a second, I totally agree. Like when you're going through the worst of the pain, you really do feel pretty alone. And I kind of started to think like, is something wrong with me? Like, is something really, am I really unfixable? And it just is really reassuring to be able to message quickly and say, Ashley, I feel like we're stuck. I'm not getting anywhere. Is this normal? And you are really reassuring to say that that was normal and that this does happen. And people do have multiple setbacks along the way. And there are multiple reasons that some of these motor retraining systems need to get reprogrammed and we have to do this. So you're not totally broken. You're not totally abnormal. So I just wanted to mention that it was extremely reassuring to have you backing me up along the way and kind of coaching me through all these little setbacks. But yeah, I have been back to running now and lifting and really just going about my day-to-day life without thinking about this very much for probably a good 8 weeks now, which is just wonderful. So I'm back to running probably 20, 25 miles per week again. I'm doing some speed training again. I'm getting some interval work in. It's extremely hot in Arizona, so I'm limited to my treadmill with an air conditioner blowing on me and like three fans blowing in different directions. But that is so much better than nothing. And I'm just super, super happy to be doing that. I'm lifting weights like three times a week. And I mean, if I get really ambitious, I might sign up for a road race in the fall or winter, but I don't know if I'm ready for that. I just, it's hard when you're a former serious athlete. It's hard to like go back and compare to the old times, but I don't know. I've aged up into a new age group. And so it might be kind of fun to see what I can do, but I'm just really glad to be back at my normal activity level, feeling like I'm able to get the things done that I need to in a day, take care of my son. I am still pretty cognizant of how I am lifting things, and I do definitely pay a lot more attention to my biomechanics and think about things a lot more than I used to. I do still use the breathing technique every once in a while just to test it out and make sure that I'm kind of engaging my abs. And I am really cognizant of being careful and, you know, using a foam roller on my glutes and my hamstring just to kind of keep up with maintenance. But that's really where I am now, is sort of in a maintenance phase and really just kind of looking forward to kind of being my normal self again, I guess.
I love that. Also, the treadmill that you're running on isn't just any normal treadmill. I think it's an Air Runner, right?
Yes, I love that thing. Highly recommend. It's more similar to running on a normal ground than like a traditional treadmill, and it's fun too. I mean, you have to be a little bit smart and careful so you don't shoot yourself off the back end or trip. But it's really fun. It really imitates normal running a lot better.
Yeah. It's such a cool tool. I applaud you for doing that. I know that I've spent maybe a total of 15 minutes on Air Runner collectively, so not 15 minutes in a row. And I just have to say that takes a whole new level of concentration.
It does,
And also bravery as well. I'm like terrified going on that. So I just that's amazing. And well, you know, talking about aging up into a new age group, So my main method of exercise right now is jujitsu. And in the jujitsu world, you have like the open divisions, which is like 18 to 35. But once you hit 35, they have what is called the executive division. Ooh. So in that way, like if I'm competing, I don't have to go against like 18-year-olds who like want to rip my head off, which is, you know, it's a much nicer, bracket, in there. Yeah. Well, Danielle, this is awesome. I'm so excited for what the future holds. I'm so glad that you're feeling the way that you are. And I really appreciate you just taking a chance on, you know, someone that you just met via a podcast, talked for a little bit and was like, hey, you know, let's do that. And yeah, the journey was about 6 months. And prior to this call, I was thinking about, well, in some cases, people do have to have help for more than the typical 3 week mark. And it's often like if you're doing private insurance, like usually at about the 12 week mark, if you're not showing any improvements, you end up like your insurance company stops treating you. But then also if you're paying on the cash side and you're working with someone for 6 months, it could get a bit really expensive. And so I created this patient advocate program, which is a program that Danielle was on. It's like, how could we create a service or a program that allowed people to overcome some of these challenges that may take a long time without having to really just drain people's resources? No one ever wants to be in pain. And so why have to, you know, put yourself in a funky position just trying to manage that pain in the first place? And so, you know, so that was something that I found to be, you know, really interesting. And for the listeners out there, Danielle, for those who are thinking or on the fence about this program, what do you have any advice for them? Any words of wisdom?
I think don't be afraid to give it a try. This does feel a little bit non-traditional. I felt a little bit as though I was working outside of my normal healthcare system and, you know, not using my insurance and not going through the normal protocols that I, you know, typically would recommend as a physician, but recognizing that Ashley has the appropriate training and credentials to do this and is very much a legitimate provider, I would say be willing to take a risk and experiment with this. You've got multiple options out there. And I think this is absolutely the accessibility, the price is very fair, I think, for the amount of support that is provided. And I think just be willing to try something like this rather than using the normal system. I think that's my first piece of advice. And then my second piece is just don't give up. This can be a really long process, which I was not expecting this to go on as long as it did. But it is something that there is light at the other end of the tunnel. And there are people out there that are willing to help you, and it kind of just takes some serious perseverance and holding with something, but these are fixable problems, and there's lots of good people out there who will help you.
Awesome. Danielle, you rock. I'm so happy to have worked with you. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your experience with us, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Ashley. I'm incredibly grateful for the care that I received from you, and will continue to recommend you to people.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got some help from today's podcast. And for more info, check us out at ifixyoursciatica.com. Have a fantastic and pain-free day. No patient-therapist relationship is formed by listening to this podcast. We are not providing medical advice, and all information should be confirmed by a medical provider.